When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Friday, and welcome in. What a day it is going to be. Thanks for making time for us. We'll update you on everything that is going on, including this. Three puffs of white smoke. And a pope, did I read that correctly? Mark Pope, excuse me, has been named the head basketball coach of Kentucky. If you had him in your office pool, I want to buy the next lotto ticket with you in New Jersey. A stunner on the bluegrass, and we'll talk about it as we roll on today. Former UK player, went to med school, now he's the head coach there. A lot of spring games this weekend, we'll talk about a number of them as we get you ready for the most important Saturday of the spring. Alabama is on ESPN later in the day. How about these in the early time slot? Tennessee, the Razorbacks, the Gators, Georgia, LSU at 1:30, Ole Miss at 4. 30 coaches who will define the next decade of college football. That is one of the questions we are tackling here today. Kirby Smart usually pictured where we talk about the best coach in the country, but who else? That is the question. Bill Conley joining us. Bill, thanks for the time. So we know about Kirby Smart. Before we even get to the list, how did you approach this particular list? What was the criteria?
Yeah, I was worried Kirby was so obviously number one that it would kind of negate the rest of the list. But I wanted to look at things in terms of just buckets, basically. Who are the guys in their 40s or early 50s who still have a good 10, 12 years here to rack up some titles and big wins? Who are the younger coaches who have a lot of time to kind of grow into themselves as young coaches and so on down the list? And it was kind of – it was fun. I didn't really know what this list was going to produce till I dived in, and it made it a lot more fun to write anyway.
So, you know, Kirby's one, which we understand, you know, Saban's gone. Kalen DeBoer, number two. Let's hear about it.
I mean, multi-national championship winner, granted, not at this level. But, I mean, my line about Kalen DeBoer has been good for, like, the last four jobs he's had. Hire the guy who's been awesome at every job he's ever had in college football. And we really haven't seen him fail a test yet. Now, this is going to be, obviously, what he's walking into here, you have to be better than good, and we'll see if he can live up to all the expectations going to be thrust upon him. But he's proven himself dramatically, and I thought more so than Steve Sarkisian at three, who's a hair older and you know, more high profile, but maybe hasn't proven quite as much.
And you're going down the list. So Ryan Day's at four. He's a great recruiter. I'm still trying to figure out, and I know about all the appearances in the CFP in the national championship game. But man, has he been a choker in the big game lately?
Yeah, I think what was fun about some of these guys, and I, you know, Luke Fickell on the list too, is when you just step back and look at the resume as a whole and ups and downs and whatnot. At 45, he's got a lot of chances for ups still in his career, and he still had a few of them already too. So wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt in that regard, and he did kind of turn around that defense. Now he's just, you know, got to do the same for the offense again because it's one problem or the other.
We had a guest a couple weeks ago, not to bring you into other people's list, but he had Lane Kiffin. I'm not even sure Lane Kiffin was in the top 25, which stunned all of us. You have Lane Kiffin number five. I agree with you, but give some context.
Yeah, I mean, he's ridiculously experienced. It's hilarious that he's only 48. He's been part of college football's fabric for 20 years now. But, you know, you just step back and look what he's accomplished so far. You know, the best short run at Ole Miss since, what, the early 70s probably. After the Alabama experience, after that early failure, he goes to Florida Atlantic and wrecks shop immediately. I mean, if you just look the last five, 6 years of his coaching career, it looks pretty much perfect. So, yeah, I mean, I think – He has that baggage from old failures and whatnot, and I think that affects a lot of people's opinions. But of late, he has absolutely been one of the best coaches.
A year ago, he was on the what we call the quiet hot seat. You don't talk about it until he starts losing. And now he's number 10 in your poll. That's Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, this was, I think, you know, getting rid of play calling, being able to reap the fruits of a few different good recruiting classes or good by Missouri standards. I think it really, I think he grew up a little bit last year in terms of what he was able to accomplish and being a CEO type for a program, and it looked great on him. So, you know, going to have to do it with expectations now, and we'll see what happens from there. But, yeah, his stock has very, very justifiably risen of late.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe those coaches who are on the next rung, who may emerge. Give us a couple of the names of the rising stars, so to speak.
Well, I'm really, you know, looking at just the even just the mid-major level. You've got guys like Josh, former Heupel assistant Alex Golesh there at number 18 on the list. He crushed it last year at USF. I mean, even aside from the Alabama game, he did great. And I think that's really, really interesting. He has a really interesting background with Matt Campbell and Josh Heupel and all these guys. Really curious about him. And then quietly, you know, John Summerall is now at Tulane. I have him number 15. Former Kentucky assistant, just crushes it at Troy and now inherits a really good situation at Tulane. I would assume both of those names the stock for those guys could rise in a hurry.
Assistant coaches, you mentioned Glenn Schumann, who, you know, has really been outstanding in a spot where there is a lot of talent. Let's talk about who else. You mentioned an A&M coordinator, Colin Klein.
Yeah, I mean, that's another guy who, you know, very short career here. Only, you know, what, he was 10 years ago, he was in the pros and whatnot. But, you know, Kansas State in my SP Plus rankings were seventh last year. Just a really, really interesting development from him. You know, he wants to be as physical as possible, but they figured out a lot of ways to create big plays. And it just seems like his growth as a play caller has come pretty quickly. And now he goes to a spot where he's got a chance that, you know, the four and five stars around him are something he has not gotten used to yet. So we'll see exactly what he can do with that. But I think the world of Klein at this point, I think he's come a long way in a very short amount of time.
One last one. Marcus Davis, a well-known name in Auburn folklore. He's the receivers coach, the highest regarded Auburn coach on your list. So what strikes you about him?
Yeah, I think just thinking about, you know, if the idea here was guys who will help to define the next decade. I mean, some of the guys on this, you know, the best coaches list a decade, they were position coaches somewhere. So I think I wanted to include a couple of those. And just the fact that Marcus Davis had such a high profile position coach job by his mid-20s and then proved himself as maybe one of the best recruiters in the country last year in helping to, work out that receiver class that they got. I think that's good sign. We don't know much about him yet as a coach. It's freaking me out that a guy who was a freshman on that title runner-up team is now a high-profile assistant coach. But certainly what we've learned about him so far is ridiculously good, and so I wanted to include him on there for that reason.
Great stuff, as always, from Bill Conley of ESPN. Many thanks, Bill. Appreciate the list. We have a busy, jam-packed show for you today. Yes, we will react to what Kentucky announced earlier today in terms of the new Pope hire. Rick Carl will join us later on, the guru of sports business. And on a Friday afternoon before a big game, Chris Doering will join us with a preview. And your phone call is straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Have to use July to reset.
And welcome back. And again, recapping the big shocker from Lexington, Mitch Barnhart announcing that Mark Pope, the former captain of the 96 national championship team, played briefly in the NFL, in the NBA, played not briefly, but he played a couple of years, went to med school, decided to leave there to take a job, I believe it was at the University of Georgia under Mark Fox. And anyway, he's been at BYU where he has not won a NCAA tournament game, but he replaces John Calipari at the University of Kentucky. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
They should have sent up black smoke for that hire. Hey, Paul, that list of coaches, was Mark Cristobal or Matt Campbell on it?
No, they're gone.
And, you know, as far as Ryan Day, you know, he was handed the keys to a Cadillac by Urban Meyer. And so far, he hasn't really navigated out of the driveway. I think Jim Harbaugh said it best. Some people wake up on third base and think they hit a triple. But I think this whole blue blood label for Kentucky is somewhat overrated. They've not been to the Elite Eight in, 5 years, and the Final Four in 9 years. And as you say, they hire a coach. Well, you know, I can't keep track. What's higher, Paul, the number of people that quit your show this week or the number of coaches that turned down Kentucky?
Sadly, I believe it's the number of coaches who turned down Kentucky.
Yeah, I hear you. But the, as you say, they reached down to somebody who's been to the NCAA twice in the last 9 years and got knocked out in the first round.
And yeah, I knew who he was, and I remember him as a player. And listen, being a smart player is fantastic. You know, being a Kentucky guy is fantastic. But You literally just ran off a coach who couldn't win big in the NCAA tournament. And this guy's record
hasn't sniffed it.
Yeah, I mean, he was at Utah Valley where he got to the CBI. I don't know if that really matters. At BYU.
That's high school.
His best season was right before COVID. So the next year he lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The next year he went to the NIT. The next year he didn't make the tournament, and then this past year knocked out in the first round. I mean, that is a pretty pedestrian record.
Yeah, it seems both hires are overrated. Arkansas gets an old school coach who can't get it done with top five talent, and Kentucky gets somebody who doesn't know what the NCAA tournament's all about. And I know both schools are going to get a lot of NIL money with the hires, but quite frankly, what did that do for the number one NIL school? Kansas, they went out in the second round. It just seems too overrated.
Well, we know now, John. No, that what's interesting is I've read some people that I keep up with in Kentucky last night saying this would be a disastrous hire. This morning they're saying that they've never seen a Big Blue Nation galvanize around a choice. I mean, that happens at every school. You know that.
Right. They had a parade for John Calipari, but sure. What has he done the last 9 years?
Well, listen, I don't know what the circumstances were in relation to Billy Donovan, whether they had a maybe if you wait for me, but it is stunning to watch that in real time. Thanks so much for the call. Let's continue. And Bash is up next. Hey, Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I hope I didn't get you in trouble yesterday, Paul, for again setting you up for a low blow at your residing city's basketball team. Although I hope they didn't call and say, can you please stop trashing our basketball team? And your response is, can you please stop having a basketball team that is trash?
Yeah, that's one thing about that's one thing about professional sports. They really don't care what you say about them.
Let's switch professional sports and stay in the same building, Paul, to a sport that we talked about last month when you were on remote in Nashville for the SEC Championship. You guys got a pretty good hockey team at the moment. So my question for you today, Paul, is, as of today, if I'm able to predict the Stanley Cup Finals, which I predict will be my Colorado Avalanche playing your residing team's Carolina Hurricanes.
Hey, by the way, Bash, you know, the Carolina is a team plays in Raleigh, not in Charlotte.
Oh, well, still, I can still see myself flying out to Charlotte to make it to a potential Stanley Cup Finals game because, Paul, I regret 2 years ago.
It's two and a half hours from where we're sitting right now.
That's nothing compared to how far I've driven.
Here's the biggest blow to you, Bash. As it stands, marijuana is not legal in this state, so you're going to be in for a long 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, drive? Oh, if I'm driving there, Paul, it's going to probably take me 20 hours, but I'm absolutely looking forward to that if that was what it takes. But if that does happen, Paul, if I'm able to predict, I think the odds would be maybe...
Yeah, Bash, let me stop you. There's not a single person in this building that I'm sitting in that particularly cares who you predict for what sport. So please...
Okay, but I'm just saying, if I'm able to, can I, when I've come out to...
Dave is up next, and so I've heard enough about the NHL. Dave is up next in South Carolina. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great, thank you.
Yeah, Kentucky Nation is doing better today, I believe, with Mark Pope being hired as the head coach. The Calipari marriage was over. It'd been on the writing was on the wall for the last few years. You just see he wasn't into the job. And, you know, we didn't get a top-rated hire like Hurley or any of them. But to me, that doesn't matter. NBA players don't matter. They don't raise banners at Rupp Arena for how many first-round draft picks you get. It's about championships. And Calipari wasn't getting it done. He was getting the top recruits, but he wasn't coaching them. He wasn't teaching the basic fundamentals. Defense, you know, Reed was supposed to be the number one draft pick, and guys blowing by them, you know, just basic fundamentals. Like when they had Oakland in foul trouble in the first half, you'd think you would just keep pounding the ball into the paint. No, they just kept passing around the
perimeter. Okay, Dave, I understand the criticism of Calipari. Tell us why Big Blue Nation is excited by this hire.
Well, he played for Kentucky. He played for Patino. He's got a fairly good track record. But all coaches have to start somewhere.
Dave, you're 100% correct. All coaches do have to start somewhere. Rarely do they have to start at Kentucky, though, as a head coach.
Yeah, but for what was out there to pick from, you know, there really wasn't anything. They'd already been some of the top ones had already turned them down. So Calipari's already out the door. So you have to start somewhere. And I'll give the man a full
So Dave, is the thing that you like about Pope the fact that he played for Kentucky? Is that what inspires you the most?
Well,
you certainly couldn't be inspired by his track record at BYU.
No, you couldn't. But I can't be inspired by Calipari's track record the past 5 years either.
That's fair. Doug is up next in Florida. Hey, Doug, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to get your take on Pope being hired. I mean, I've been a lifelong Kentucky fan, you know, and when Tubby was here, you know, after Patino, we ran him out because, you know, he couldn't get the top recruits. You know, then we had the Gillespie debacle, and then, you know, in comes Calipari. And I think the first few years during Calipari's, you know, coaching, you know, we were kind of spoiled. And a lot of these toxic fans, I believe, is a huge reason why Calipari is no longer coach. I mean,
Calipari had already been to a Final Four with UMass and a Final Four championship game with Memphis. I mean, he had already proven he could win at the highest level. That to me is the I get the, you know, the Mark Pope love from from Rick Pitino's national championship team. What I don't understand is how good of a coach is he? And I don't think we have a good, I don't think we've seen very much in that regard.
No, I have to agree with you there. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, but I think a lot of the fans weren't happy with Calipari's.
No, you know, listen, I think Calipari needed to go. I'm really eager to hear more about how they landed on Mark Pope, other than the fact that he went to Kentucky. That can't be the reason, because that's not. I've seen that movie too many times before, and quite frankly, Doug, rarely does it work. It helps make fans feel better, but it doesn't translate very well. AC is up next. Go right ahead.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you very much for taking my call. How's your
thank
family
you.
Doing, sir?
Okay.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you a question about your radio station career. But my first question is, when are you going to have my boy, Mike Griffith of the Dog Nation? When are you going to have my number one guest?
He'll be on next week.
Perfect. I love Mike Griffith. Now, let me ask you a question for your radio station career. What type of training you went through when you started working for ESPN? Like, did you go like a week training monthly? Like, what did you do? What did you learn? Is that helping you right now to be who you are?
No, they don't have a training camp here. They hire you at a company like this because they think you're capable. They don't hire you to teach you how to become capable.
Got it. But did you have prior experience working in a national radio station? I mean,
I had a couple of years in radio before I got here.
Good. So you just applied, went through all the good
It's like this old cliche. I think it was Bobby Jones once said about Augusta National. You don't come to Augusta National for the Masters to find your game. You come here because you have one. That's also what happens usually when companies like this hire people like us. That doesn't mean we're great. That just means that we have already done it, AC. We may not have been on the number one pop rock in Bangladesh like you are, but we obviously got someone's attention. Taco is up next. Hey, Taco, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about what you said about Calipari being the two Final Fours before he got to Kentucky. If you remember, those are vacated. So, like, I mean, the dude is he was pretty shady, and it wouldn't be.
Come on. Let's not be revisionist historians here. This is the same guy your school gave a lifetime contract to 5 years ago.
That's not my school. I'm a Duke fan, buddy.
Well, I don't care what you are, but you're defending Cal. You're acting like, I mean, John Calipari was a great basketball coach when the University of Kentucky hired him. There had been some shenanigans that went on. I don't think they were overly. They were both fairly similar allegations of a player eligibility, but he still did the job. He was an amazing recruiter, and he took two or three of his best recruits from Memphis with him to Kentucky, which helped launch one of the greatest 8 or 9 year runs we've ever seen in Kentucky basketball. We'll take a short break. More of your reaction to the Pope hiring in Lexington and more elsewhere as we continue here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we are back. A lot of reaction to the hiring of Mark Pope. Logan is up next.
Hey, Paul. Hey, is it just me or is it like Kentucky is like a dream job, but like they can't get anybody that's worth a crap. I mean, like, who is this guy? I've never heard of the guy before.
He played in Kentucky, Logan. You're not listening very well today. He was captain of the 96 team.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was kind of like the Alabama search. It's like a lot of people want to turn it down. It's like, is the pressure too much for these people? Like, I don't get it.
Well,
like,
I don't know about that, but it just seems like it doesn't sound like they had a very good plan.
No, I mean, like, I was talking to my pops, and, like, he's not even the best coach in the SEC. I mean, this guy's going to come in there, and he's going to be like.
Let's think about it, Logan. I'm doing this off the top of my head.
Right.
But Kalen DeBoer was hired by Alabama. And
right.
He's considered probably the second or third best coach in the SEC already. Maybe this, according to Bill Conley, he's considered the second best coach in the country.
Wow.
We have 16 SEC coaches now with the addition of Oklahoma and Texas. I'm trying to think where Mark Pope would rank.
I mean, he's got to be down below. I mean, well, did Vanderbilt hire a coach yet?
Vanderbilt just got a new coach.
Okay, so I mean, I'm thinking like he's got to be at the bottom third of the conference. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. Like, he may be a great coach, but his resume is not proven to be anything special right now for Kentucky.
Well, I'll go through. I mean, since Adolph Rupp retired, Joe B. Hall was hired. Joe was elevated, and he won a national championship. After Joe B., Eddie Sutton, I believe, was the next coach. He had taken Arkansas to the Final Four. Was it Pitino next? I'm trying to remember. I think Pitino was next. He had taken Providence to the Final Four. He had a great resume. He had also been the New York Knicks. The next coach after Pitino was Tubby Smith, who had a really good record and won the national championship. Here's where it gets interesting. The only coach you could even compare to this, but I'm willing to bet Billy Gillespie had better credentials on day one. I mean, he was an abject disaster. And then Calipari had gone to the Final Four with UMass.
And Louisville.
Yeah, so Billy Gillespie had been at A&M. I don't know what he did there, but obviously he did enough to get the Kentucky job. And then he made a sweet. He won an NCAA tournament game. He made it to the Sweet 16. And then we had obviously the Calipari run, and now this is. I mean, I don't want to give you he may turn out to be the best coach in Kentucky history, although I'd rather doubt that. But he's certainly the most underwhelming Kentucky coach ever on day one.
Yeah, I'm wondering and what are you hearing from the fan base today, Paul? I haven't heard so
many
Kentucky fans.
I've learned, Logan, not to pay much attention to fan bases because fan bases tend to coalesce around good coaches, great coaches, and coaches that they don't really believe will be any good. But ultimately, I mean, I was in Alabama the day Mike Shula was hired, and Alabama fans talked about how great he would be.
Oh my God, I might have been one of those people that fell for that, Paul.
Fans are fans, and they're not commentators. James is up next in Kentucky. Hey, James.
Hey, Paul, how are you, bud?
We're doing great, thank you.
Hey, I'm going to tell you why Mark Pope's a good hire for Kentucky.
Please.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. First of all, he was coached by Rick Pitino. He's a dog. He's a Rhodes Scholar. Very intelligent. Now, on the coaching part of it, think about this. Duke's coach, North Carolina's coach, and Hurley at UConn, they didn't really have nothing big time to have. You know, I mean, they didn't really do anything good until he was hired. Billy Donovan. He didn't do nothing until he went to Florida. So, and I can tell you this much. Jeff Shepard and Mark are big buddies. You'll be surprised who some of the assistant coaches that we're hearing will come in there. Not only that, go and watch the thing from Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino said, if Kentucky needs NIL money, he's got you. Today, two donors donated $4 million to NIL. Pope is going to get the players, I promise you. He knows what he's doing. He's awesome at coaching. And wait and see.
James, I hope you're right, and you very well may be. Thank you for the call. Brett is up next in Ohio. Hey, Brett, go right ahead.
Greetings, Paul. How are you?
I am doing well. Thanks a lot.
Well, we need you on a day like this. It's, you know, it was raining this morning in the state of Kentucky because I think God was crying. I just don't get it. I do get it. There is a complete tussle between Kentucky football and Calipari with NIL money years ago, where I think it split the relationship with the athletic director, and Stoops kind of won that, where he still has that relationship with the AD. And Calipari didn't have that relationship with Mitch Pernhardt. I think this is comparable to a murder mystery. And why do I say that? So I think the problem was revealed last night and early today. The problem is Pernhardt. I think Calipari was frustrated about getting more NIL money from the boosters. I think that, you know, our facilities are dated. Seth Greenberg does have a point there. This is, I don't get it. I really don't, because you would think that there's a lot of gravitas being an athletic director for the University of Kentucky. The guy just wilted like a flower. Billy Donovan was our number one, a lot of people's number one. There was a poll on Matt Jones, as you know, Matt Jones, a big blogger for the University of Kentucky. And Billy Donovan always won those polls, even when Scott Drew was on there. We could have waited 1 week, 1 week for Billy Donovan. And yes, it's good. Mark Pope is one of our own. But there is no track record. There is no track record of having an NCAA run. How is he going to perform in really high tense pressure games? How is he going to recruit? It's phenomenally perplexing, where I just don't get it, Paul. We need your help. How can you intervene? What can we do? I'm floored.
Well, there's nothing anybody can do. This is the choice of the university. And I don't have any doubt once everybody hears him speak on Sunday, they will feel very strongly. But that's understandable, and that's predictable, and that's fine. And it really doesn't matter how they ended up getting to this point. But I do think it's... if you're going to hire one of Rick Pitino's proteges and talk about how great Rick Pitino is, go ahead and hire Rick Pitino. Nobody would be questioning that, would they?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I think University of Louisville fans are very perplexed today because of Pitino's eagerness to get involved. I think that is part of wait and see how the movie comes out. I do think Pitino will somehow get involved this year, next year, what capacity, I don't know. But, you know, we've seen this movie play out before, Paul, and we saw that at St. John's. They brought back Chris Mullin and Mitch Richmond, and we saw Kenny Payne go back to the University of Louisville. I think the donors were not having the best relationship with Coach Cal. Yes, they did pony up some money, $4 million, and that was what Pernhardt kind of went to. But when Pernhardt was talking about why he went to Pope today, I thought he was describing Tony Robbins. And I'm like, how is a motivational speaker, and he was captain of his team, how is that going to turn into wins? You know, so... I know you'll keep them up to the post, so I appreciate you, Paul.
Thank you very much. And by the way, sometimes it really doesn't matter how you get to the end. This is who their choice is, and I don't have any doubt Kentucky fans will embrace him. Doesn't make it any less bizarre that we ended up here. We'll take a short break. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, welcome back. Busy first hour. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim, go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I would make this comment on this selection of Mark Pope.
Okay.
Clearly, we had an A-list of candidates, and when I first heard that list, I was excited. Brad Stevens, Billy Donovan, Nate Oates, Scott Drew, perhaps some others. And for whatever reason, we went 0-4, 0-5. I think at that point in time, Mitch should have switched gears and said, let's get a caretaker in here for 3 or 4 years that can recruit and can coach and keep these traditions up. And that caretaker would have been Rick Pitino.
Exactly.
And that, in my opinion, would have been the smart play for Mitch to have made.
Hey, one more thing, Jim. If you want to say we're bringing in Mark Pope as his assistant head coach, and you know, with the idea of letting him take over in 3 years, I think that would have been pretty popular.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's not what happened. Hey, thank you very much. And I think this guy could – listen, he's coaching at Kentucky. He has a chance to be great. That comes with the territory. John is up next. Hey, John.
Yes.
Go right ahead, John. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just calling to say that I back the decision. I don't know if it's the greatest decision, but as a UK fan, I have to be behind him. I don't know if it's the right hire.
Well, let me ask you, I understand your loyalty. That's what I would want too, but what are you not sure about?
Inexperience. Inexperience as a coach. Not a lot of success. But I think, you know, we got to give him some time. Having played there, I think he's a loyal UK guy who is going
to pour his heart and soul into the job. John, I want you to explain what difference does it make whether you played there or not. You're not. I mean, if you're the head coach at Kentucky, what does loyalty matter? Anyway, I mean, again, it's not like you're going to be recruiting for somebody else if you're the. Ron is up next in Pennsylvania. Hey, Ron, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
First of all, I think John Calipari should have listened to what Joby Hall said. It was a 10-year job. He should have stayed 10 years and gotten out because the last 5 years, I think it became very obvious that he was a very lazy coach, all right, and didn't do a lot of coaching.
Sure.
Now, as far as Mark Pope is concerned, my goodness, we are really killing this poor guy. We have no idea what he's going to be doing at Kentucky. BYU and Kentucky are not on the same level. Everybody knows that. All right, he is going to be able to recruit players at Kentucky, hopefully, all right, that he wasn't able to sniff at BYU. All right. BYU does not have the facilities. It doesn't have the money. It doesn't have the reputation. It doesn't have the prestige. It doesn't have the history that Kentucky has. So Mark Pope is going to have an opportunity to utilize all of these things and recruit players that BYU certainly could not. I think BYU also has some sort of a religious component where the players have to leave
for a year or two and go someplace
out of the country.
It's a challenge, right.
They go there on mission.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So this, of course, is going to obviously take away from some of the recruiting as well. All right. I've seen, and I follow my Mark Pope's career because I'm a Kentucky fan, and I've seen him play, BYU play probably a dozen games this year on TV. They play a wide-open offense. They shoot a lot of threes. They do a lot of running. So I think he's got a style that I think the Kentucky fans are going to like. But to jump all over him and say he's got inexperience because he's lost two NCAA games first round, well, you know what? When he came in, he was like seeded 11th or 12th, so he was playing a higher seed or a similar seed. There are coaches out there who have
– You know what, Ron? The biggest mistake Pope had was he didn't get Kentucky in the first round. It would have been a sure win.
Well, that's true. That's true. That's like, well, he certainly would have had them better scouted, I think.
But that's how most coaches get jobs. They win NCAA tournament games. This is the antithesis of that. It doesn't mean it won't be successful. I want to make that clear. I think Mitch Barnhart's a great judge of talent. He saw something or sees something in Pope that maybe some of us don't.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.